Ever wish you could learn by like downloading an expert's brain? Okay, maybe not download, but like, what if you could really get inside their thought process, though? Today, we're diving deep into a method that comes pretty close. Cognitive apprenticeship.
Yeah, it's a fascinating approach because it goes beyond just mimicking skills. It's about understanding the expert's mental model, their big picture thinking. So you learn not just what to do, but why.
So it's less about following a recipe and more about becoming a chef who can create new dishes.
It's about developing that deeper level understanding that lets you adapt and apply knowledge in any situation. Our sources this week really highlight that distinction between traditional and cognitive apprenticeship.
You know, it's funny. I was reading about the history of legal apprenticeships in Ontario. Before the 1940s, you could become a lawyer mainly through on-the-job training and passing the bar. No law degree needed.
Times have certainly changed, but it illustrates how apprenticeship has been around for ages, even in fields that seem incredibly complex now. And what sets cognitive apprenticeship apart is its focus on building those mental models, and importantly, something called metacognitive skills.
Metacognitive skills. Now, I'll admit that term always makes me feel like I need a dictionary. Can you break it down for me?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Think of it as thinking about thinking. It's that ability to step back and become aware of your own thought process, how you solve problems, how you learn best, even what your biases might be.
Okay, so it's like becoming your own learning coach. You're not just absorbing information. You're understanding how you absorb it.
You got it. And that's incredibly powerful because it makes you a more adaptable and effective learner. You mentioned becoming a chef. Well, imagine trying to learn cooking just by watching someone chop vegetables. You might pick up the mechanics, but you wouldn't understand the why behind the actions.
You would understand why they chose those specific vegetables or how the knife technique impacts the flavor.
But in cognitive apprenticeship, you're not just observing the actions. You're understanding the thought process behind them. They're learning the why along with the how.
That makes a lot of sense. So where does this actually show up in real life? I mean, besides maybe becoming a master chef.
You might be surprised. Our source, Bernard Letendre, uses a fascinating example. Judo.
Judo.
He's got decades of experience in martial arts and argues that judo embodies cognitive apprenticeship.
Okay, that's not where I expected us to go, but I'm intrigued. How does that work? It seems like it would be more about physical skill.
Of course, there's a physical element, but true expertise in judo lies in understanding the underlying principles. Take the concept of giving way, for example.
Like yielding to your opponent's force. Sounds counterintuitive if you're trying to win.
But it's not about weakness. It's about strategic yielding. A judo master understands that by giving way, they can actually gain a positional advantage or disrupt their opponent's balance.
Interesting.
This principle of giving way to gain advantage isn't just about throws and grappling, though. It can be applied to negotiations, creative problem solving, even navigating personal relationships.
So a good negotiator is like a judo master, strategically yielding to achieve a larger goal.
They understand that sometimes taking a step back can actually put them in a stronger position. It's about having that big picture strategic mindset, which is a hallmark of cognitive apprenticeship.
You know, this giving way idea makes me think about leadership too. I've had my fair share of bosses, and some could have really benefited from understanding that concept.
And that actually leads us to another fascinating application of cognitive apprenticeship: management and leadership development. Unfortunately, the sink or swim approach to management training is still surprisingly common.
Tell me about it. I've had bosses who seemed less like judo masters and more like they were trying to win a staring contest with a ball. Head down, charging into every situation, not exactly inspiring.
It's a shame because, just like in judo, effective leadership relies on so much more than just raw strength or authority.
So how do we fix that? Can you actually teach someone to be a good leader using cognitive apprenticeship? It's not like you can just have them shadow their CEO for a week and expect them to magically absorb the secrets of great leadership.
Of course not. It's a process.
Right.
And like any good apprenticeship, it involves a few key components.
Okay.
Our source breaks these down really helpfully.
Yeah.
And what's great is they're applicable to learning anything.
Okay.
Not just leadership.
Okay. I love a good breakdown.
Okay.
Give me the steps.
So we start with modeling.
Okay.
Remember how we talked about going beyond just mimicking actions?
Yeah.
Modeling is about observing an expert in action.
Okay.
To understand their decision-making process, their problem-solving strategies, even their intuition.
So in the workplace, that might look like shadowing a senior manager.
Right.
Attending their meetings, seeing how they handle different situations.
Precisely. But it's not just about passively watching.
Right.
It's about actively observing,
okay.
asking questions, and trying to understand the why behind their actions.
Okay, so observation is step one. What comes next? Do we throw them into the deep end with a little sink or swim action? Just kidding.
Not quite. The next component is coaching.
Right.
This is where the expert provides guidance, feedback, and support tailored to the learner's specific needs.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it like having a personal trainer for your leadership skills.
Oh.
Someone who can help you identify your weaknesses, leverage your strength, and develop a personalized training plan.
So in this case, that could be a mentor, a coach, or even just a more experienced colleague who can provide feedback and guidance.
Absolutely. Having that external perspective can be invaluable for growth. But there's also an element of structure that's important here.
Okay.
That's where scaffolding comes in.
Scaffolding, now we're building things.
In a way, yes.
Okay.
Scaffolding is about providing temporary support structures that are gradually removed as the learner becomes more competent.
Okay.
Think of it like training wheels on a bike.
Okay.
They provide that extra bit of stability and support until you're confident enough to ride on your own.
So you're giving them just enough help to succeed, but not so much that they become dependent on it.
You got it.
Okay.
The goal is to foster independence and self-sufficiency.
Right.
Now, the next component might seem a bit counterintuitive.
Okay.
It's articulation.
Articulation, like speaking clearly?
Yeah.
Although I guess that is important for leaders.
It's important. But in this context, articulation is about the learner explaining their thought process out loud.
Okay.
Even if they're not entirely sure of themselves.
So it's like thinking out loud.
Exactly. It seems simple.
Yeah.
But it forces them to clarify their thinking, identify any gaps in their understanding,
right.
and makes their thought process visible to both themselves and their coach.
That makes sense. It's like when you try to explain something to someone else.
Right.
And you realize you don't fully grasp it yourself. I do that all the time, my poor friends.
We've all been there. But that struggle to articulate is actually a powerful tool for deepening understanding and improving metacognition.
Okay, so we've got modeling, coaching, scaffolding, and articulation. What's next on our cognitive apprenticeship checklist?
Well, after all that action, it's time for some reflection.
Time for a well-deserved break. I could go for a coffee break right about now.
A mental break, you could say.
Okay.
Reflection is about taking a step back to analyze the process. What went well? What could be improved?
Yeah.
And what new strategies might be more effective? It's about learning from both successes and, importantly, mistakes.
That resonates. I know I've learned more from my blunders than from my victories, which honestly makes me feel a little bit better about all those blunders.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've observed, we've gotten guidance, we've talked it out, and we've reflected anything else. This apprenticeship thing is quite the process.
One last but crucial component, exploration.
Okay.
This is where the learner takes what they've learned and applies it to new and unfamiliar situations.
So it's about having the confidence to take risks, to experiment, and yes, maybe even make a few more mistakes along the way.
Exactly. Exploration is where true mastery emerges.
Okay.
That ability to adapt and thrive in any situation.
Yeah.
Even those outside of the initial learning environment. Think of it like this. Think of it like you've spent weeks learning to sail on a calm lake, and now it's time to navigate the open ocean.
Okay, so you have like the foundational skills,
right.
but now you're facing unpredictable winds and currents.
Right.
And that's where the real learning happens.
Yeah.
That's exploration in action.
That's it.
It's like the difference between studying a map and actually like embarking on the journey.
Right.
Or you can prepare all you want, but until you're out there facing the unknown,
right.
you don't truly know what you're capable of.
Absolutely. And that's what's so powerful about cognitive apprenticeship.
Yeah.
It's not just about acquiring knowledge. It's about developing the cognitive muscles to learn and adapt throughout your life.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into cognitive apprenticeship,
right.
it strikes me that this isn't just about becoming a judo master or a CEO.
Yeah.
This is about approaching any learning opportunity
right.
with a new level of intention
yeah.
and understanding.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
It's a framework that can be applied to learning a new language, mastering a musical instrument.
Right.
Even navigating the complexities of parenthood.
Yeah.
If you think about it, we've all probably engaged in elements of cognitive apprenticeship without even realizing it.
I'm thinking back to when I learned to play guitar.
Yeah.
My teacher wasn't just showing me chords. He was explaining the music theory behind it, encouraging me to listen to different guitarists and pushing me to improvise my own solos.
Yeah.
It was a total cognitive apprenticeship experience.
There you go. You see, it's all around us if we know what to look for.
Right.
And the more we understand these principles, the more effectively we can learn and grow.
Right.
No matter what challenges life throws our way.
So here's a thought-provoking question for you, our listener.
Okay.
How can you incorporate elements of cognitive apprenticeship into your own learning journey?
That's right. Which of these components, modeling, coaching, scaffolding, articulation, reflection, or exploration, resonate most strongly with you?
Yeah.
And how could you apply them to something you're trying to learn or master right now?
Maybe it's seeking out a mentor in your field.
Yeah.
Maybe it's taking the time to reflect on your experiences. Or maybe it's pushing yourself to explore new territory. Whatever it is, remember that true mastery is an ongoing journey, not a destination.
And by embracing the principles of cognitive apprenticeship, you can equip yourself with the tools and mindset to thrive in a world that's constantly evolving.
Until next time, keep diving deep, and we'll catch you on the flip side of learning.